April 12th, 2010, at approximately 10:05 a.m. Present at the committee table are Representative Tuck, Representative Ramirez, Representative Peterson, Co-Chair Millet, myself, Co-Chair Edgman. We should be joined shortly by our other two members. As always, we ask everyone to silence their cell phones if they would, please. Today, we will be taking up Senate Bill 220, and it's the committee's intent to hear from the bill sponsors to consider a few amendments, take public testimony, and then, if possible, take action on the bill, given the fact that the legislation, although being a Senate vehicle, is something that this committee has worked on in the House iteration for some time through many hearings over the past several months. So with that, not seeing or hearing any comments from fellow committee members, we would invite the bill sponsors to please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Welikowski. I'm a state senator for Northeast Anchorage. And let me start out by thanking you, Mr. Chair, and co-chair, Madam Co-Chair, for your leadership in this area. We appreciate your leadership this committee has shown and the willingness to work collaboratively with our committee. And we have an opportunity, Mr. Chair, to pass something that will help Alaskans this year, and I think that we can all be very proud of. I want to briefly address three of the amendments before you today because I think you're very familiar with the rest of them. I won't spend a whole lot of time. You're obviously very familiar with the bill. The first is Amendment Number 2, which simply requires the administration to consider the energy efficiency of equipment when entering into procurement contracts. While this is basic common sense, there's nothing in law which currently requires that. It seems like a concept we can all get behind. We had stronger language initially and watered it down at the request of the administration. This is language which they said they were comfortable with, and it sends a good message to Alaskans about our willingness to lead by example. Another amendment I would like to talk about briefly is Amendment Number 3, which continues the theme of leading by example. It requires DOT to retrofit 25% of public buildings by 2020 if the department determines that retrofitting the buildings will result in a net energy savings to the state within 15 years. Again, this was language that DOT agreed to after much back and forth. Public buildings are narrowly defined, and the department has an escape clause if it determines that meaningful savings will not be realized. By our estimates, this amendment can save the state approximately $2.75 million per year from here on out. In addition, and create jobs, because this will put contractors to work. This provision will put Alaskans to work, Mr. Chair. In addition, there is a funding source for this requirement, which is, of course, the HFC Energy Efficiency Bond Fund. This amendment also requires the state to ensure that any new buildings are built to be efficient from the start. This approach of doing it right from the start avoids the need to retrofit in the future and saves money over the long haul. The final amendment I'd like to address is Amendment Number 4, which calls on the AEA and HFC to conduct a public energy efficiency campaign. The drafters have advised us that they do not currently have the legal authority to do this, despite the fact that this year they are beginning such an effort. We want to ensure that this continues in future years and make sure that the legislature supports this work or their work. Again, I want to thank you, and I greatly appreciate you taking this bill up. This is an important bill for Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Welikowski, and also thank you for your leadership and your efforts in promoting what really I think we've all around the building referred to commonly as the Omnibus Energy Bill, and with that, we sure appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Senator Lisa McGuire, District N, Southwest Anchorage, for the record, and co-chair of the Senate Resources Committee, and I equally want to thank you both for your leadership and to the committee for your leadership. It was a delight to work with you and really appreciated the process. Our staff worked well together too behind the scenes to make sure that the bills were conforming on both sides. So a lot of what you see here in 220 frankly is material that you have seen before, that you have reflected on. But I just wanted to make a few highlights about the bill that's before you today and then just sort of a general view. You know, it's true that when you embark on these journeys, you have the idea of what's perfect in your mind, and everybody's idea is just a little bit different. But this is what's possible before us today, and I want to thank you all for recognizing that, you know, you get a moment in time, you seize it, and go with what you have and as far as you can. There are things that were really near and dear to me, such as my my tax credit for renewable energy capital investment, that were removed from the bill through negotiations. But I know that there's another time and a place for that concept to come out, as well as other concepts to come forward. The bill itself, I think, goes a long way toward putting energy policy into place in Alaska, and it mirrors nicely your bill, and again, I think, merges with the policy that you have over in the other body, so that when people look in the blue books, they see the policy the state has, that this committee worked with a stakeholder group to develop, and then they see a series of references to carry out a lot of the things in that policy. One of the important things that I think is in the bill is Section 27, which is asking the Office of the Governor, not later than January 31st of 2011 of this next year, to submit a report back to us here in the legislature regarding the structuring of state energy programs generally. And again, I want to thank this committee who came forward with the idea of creating a separate Department of Energy as a concept for us to look at. And again, by way of what's possible, not perfect, we ratcheted back to say that at least this step should take place, so that when we come back next year, we have an idea of what are all the energy programs and policies out there. They're in AHFC, they're in the DNR, they're in DEC, and how can we coordinate them better so that Alaskans know where to look to for their policy. The Emerging Energy Technology Fund that's set up in the bill is something that was also really important to us. It's been capitalized. I want to thank the co-chairman of finance on the other side for that. Really important and really bold step, because a lot of times we'll put a program in place and not capitalize it right away. We worked with his office to get that going. So we should be able to see some real results from that this fall, and I'm excited for our two committees to see the results of that. The idea, of course, to put Alaska at the forefront of attracting groups, companies that are looking at cutting-edge emerging energy technology as a place that can always lower the cost of energy, because it's so high in rural Alaska. We have some opportunities that we will get a chance to take advantage of. The Energy Technology Fund, you'll note in this bill, sunsets in the year 2015. That was also a compromise that I would ask the committee to respect. And then we'll see how the program carries out. A lot of references to nuclear energy throughout that were changes from our body for you to pay attention to. Senator Huggins, in particular, was a lead on this issue, as well as Representative Johnson. We had an outdated energy policy in our statutes that made a second layer of bureaucracy at the state level that nuclear power providers said would make it next to impossible to really consider nuclear power as an option in the state. And as we know, and particularly in rural Alaska, there are some opportunities for small nuclear power. So we've streamlined all of the references to nuclear power, allowing for NEPA to be that federal agency that would regulate it. And you'll see many references to that. A big part of what we put in the Senate bill is the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation Alaska Energy Efficiency Revolving Loan Fund. And I think this is something we can all really be proud of, and invite the governor to share credit as well. This is also a place where we took leadership in the legislature. We stood up and decided to override a veto. It was a controversial, hot issue on the energy stimulus money, and lots of viewpoints about it. But $18 million of the money that we got back through that veto is being transformed into a $250 million program that will benefit Alaskans greatly. This loan program will allow municipalities, school districts, and now the state to apply for loans to make their buildings more energy efficient. And as we know, you members here know from your travels around Alaska that a lot of the testimony centered on this main point, that you have principals of schools trying to raise up the graduation rates, looking at 70 cents of every dollar going into energy costs, and what a challenge that is. So every dollar that can be saved in energy retrofitting, we believe, will be a savings and a benefit to Alaskans. Another part that I want to highlight is the Southeast Energy Fund. We repealed the old language and statute and reenacted new language to expand the options for money going into the fund and to expand the projects for which the fund may be used. We think this is a really important part of the bill and look forward to working with the leadership from Southeast Alaska as well to capitalize that in the future. Couple last things that I want to highlight that came from Fingerprints in Our Body. The reference to compressed natural gas vehicles, Senator Dyson in particular has a real passion, as well as Representative Newman. And you'll see a whole series of policy recommendations. They're really smart to ask our government when looking at purchasing automobiles, front-end loaders, et cetera, to consider whether compressed natural gas might make sense. And at a broader policy level, when we kind of think about our ability to be less dependent on OPEC nations and foreign oil, this might be a place for us to consider taking a leadership role. So that's another part as well. And finally, I think the co-chairman next to me mentioned the fact that jobs are a big part of the bill, and I would encourage us as we go back and describe what it is that we've done, leading by example, looking at energy efficiency, looking at ways to assess our energy policy in the state. We hope that new jobs will go to Alaskans by way of contracting for these retrofits, and we're hoping to work closely with the Department of Labor to be sure that they're staggered in a way that, you know, we don't overheat the economy and end up with jobs for folks outside. And so Click Bishop is aware of what we're doing, and there are some other stimulus dollars that he's looking at in that area too. So thank you to the committee, and I'd be happy to answer questions. We have a big thank you to Michael Pulowski and to Michelle Seideman from our side. Obviously, your staff has been very integral. Adam and Jeff have been really great too. So thank you to the staff.
Well, thank you very much, Senator McGuire, and I too want to thank you for your efforts and putting Senate Bill 220 together, and also to thank you for some other individual legislation that you have that certainly can be categorized as energy related and aren't part of Senate Bill 220. So if either of you had a moment, I'd like to offer to the committee any sort of follow-up questions or comments that committee members might have, and I guess that there aren't any, so once again, thank you very much for making time out of your busy schedule to come here this morning. With that, committee members, I would like to next call Mr. Pulowski to the table to walk us through the legislation in a little bit more detail.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, this is Mike Pulowski, aide to Senator McGuire's office. In terms of the detail of the legislation, and my lifeline, Michelle Seideman, has joined me from Senator Wilikowski's office.
Good morning.
In terms of detail, members should have a new sectional for Senate Bill 220 in their packets that walks through the 33 sections in the bill. In terms of what the committee is looking for, I'd be happy to answer specific questions to the bill. I just looked directly.
Mike, we have, and Michelle, we, as noted earlier, we have covered a lot of this bill in great detail. So if you might, keeping that in mind, go through the bill, noting any sort of differences between the House House Bill 305 and Senate Bill 220, the few differences that there are, if you could maybe just sort of touch on those briefly, take us through the bill without going through exhaustive detail. But I think we're pretty well up on the bill as a whole.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think first, Section 9 is relatively important. This was the idea that the Office of Management and Budget, Section 9 being on page 7 of the bill, starting on line 15, and it's a fairly large section, and the new language is on page 9, as drafting ends up putting in the entire section to get to one final point, and that being subsection 12. And the idea being to work with state agencies to develop a standardized methodology to store energy consumption and expense data. This is the concept that we have to walk before we can run in terms of trying to integrate the state. And right now, the data just isn't available in terms of what buildings are using, and that needed to go in there. So in the idea of this leading by example, that was an important change. Let's see. Section 11 in detail, the Southeast Energy Fund. The important thing in that was on page 9, lines 24 through 29, limited who could have access to this money. And it's in particular joint action agencies.
What page, please?
Oh, sorry, sir. Page 9, lines 24 through 29. Beginning, the authority to make grants to is limited to, on line 25, a municipality of the state, a joint action agency, or a member-owned electric cooperative for power projects, repayment of loans, payments of bonds on hydroelectric projects, and transmission lines. Further being tightened down on page 9, line 31, is that money lapses back into the fund on page 10, line 1, within 7 years. Originally, this had been proposed as a 5-year before money lapsed back into the fund. Extending it out to 7 years was appropriate, given the amount of permitting time that goes into power projects. That these are long lead projects. And so providing grants for something and then removing 5 years down the road didn't make sense, given the time demanded for a project. Mr. Chairman, Senator McGuire mentioned the Office of Management and Budget developing standardized reporting, and that is found on page 19. Lines 7 through 13. And I think an important aspect of this that we took lead from this committee on was also related to the structure of the Alaska Energy Authority and its board of directors, which I know the House Energy Committee had done substantive work on. So including that in the report as well was an important change within the program. Another change, Mr. Chairman, is on page 21, lines 7 through 15. This was an idea that came up in the Senate side sponsored by Senator Egan. And the idea is these authorizing a municipal program to create energy efficiency districts. The legislation needs further work, and the idea was to get the department to come back with ideas of how, using local property tax structures, Alaska can take the lead from what other states have done to incentivize energy efficiency districts. Mr. Chairman, I believe those are the substantive highlights of the differences between work that went on in the other body and work that's gone on in this committee. If I've missed something, I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Kropalowski. Michelle, did you have any additional comments?
Hi, I'm Michelle Seidman in the office of Senator Bill Wilikowski, and I think I do not. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Questions, committee members, on the presentation we just heard, and sort of a macro level, the difference between Senate Bill 220 and our omnibus bill, House Bill 305? If not, not hearing or seeing any questions, I thank both of you for that insight into the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I move House or Senate Bill 220 with attached fiscal notes. And,
Object.
We're just a little bit ahead of ourselves. I appreciate the eagerness, and I'm there with you, but we do have at least one individual sign up to testify. What I'd like to do with the committee's indulgence is to turn to public testimony and ask if we have Freya Che online to testify.
Yes, we do.
Okay, if she could come forward, please, and put her name on the record and whom she might be representing, that would be great. And I guess I would just make a general comment that given that we're in the waning days of session, time is fairly precious, so we'd ask for brevity, for all those who wish to testify today. And with that, have Ms. Che come forward.
Hi, I'm Freya Che. I'm a freshman at Kenai Central High School, and I'm a finalist in the Caring for the Kenai Project. And as I've been listening to this hearing, I realize that you're pretty close to passing this, which is really awesome. But I have one amendment, or an idea, that I was hoping to propose. My goal for the Caring for the Kenai competition is to amend the state tax code so so that local governments have the option to exempt alternative energy systems from real property tax assessment. And the reason I'm doing this is because last September, our Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly passed a resolution supporting this idea, but as I understand, they can't take action on it unless there is first a change in the state law. So I'm not sure if any of you remember, but I actually testified at a hearing last December to this committee presenting this idea, and since then, I've researched it much more, and I've consulted with Senator Torgerson and the Alaska Municipal League, local alternative energy businesses, and I drafted language for such a proposal. And I don't think you have that before you, but I'm not sure about that. I can definitely read it off to you if you don't.
Rhea, this is the Chairman Edgman. Let me just jump in here for a second and say that we do have that in front of the committee as a form of amendment, and we're very proud that you did all the work that you did, and the result today is a consideration of your amendment into the Omnibus Energy Bill.
Thanks. Well, I guess since you have it before you and you're familiar with it, do you have any questions?
No, I think most of the committee members are pretty well versed on it, and I do remember you testifying last year, and I appreciate you coming forth a second time. And I will, however, ask committee members if they do have questions, and I'm not seeing any, Freya. So if that concludes your testimony, thank you so much for all the work you've done on this issue.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
And if you like, we would certainly invite you to stay online, and were there to be questions later on when we actually consider the amendment, we might call upon you.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else at the Kenai LI who wishes to testify today?
No, sir, there is not.
Okay. We would next go to Nome, Walter Rose.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning, Walter. Can you put yourself on the record, please, and offer your testimony?
Yes. For the record, this is Walter Rose in Nome, Alaska, speaking for Kowarik Incorporated. Kowarik provides services to 20 Native communities in the Bering Strait region, and we've been following this legislation as it goes through the Senate and the House. We support the Emerging Energy Technology Fund. Something I don't see in the current bill is we support a fuel purchasing cooperative, and we support a voucher system for the energy rebate program, and we also support the changes in the heating assistance program, which index the level of support to the price of oil. And I'll thank the committee for hearing my brief testimony and pass it back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Any questions for Walter? Not seeing any. Is there anyone else on at the Nome site who wishes to testify this morning? If not, is there anyone online who wishes to testify as well? Not hearing so. Is there anyone here in the committee room in Juneau who wishes to come forward and testify? Not seeing as such, we will close public testimony at this time. We do have a number of amendments in front of the committee at this point. So, Madam Co-Chair, if I might ask you to start the process by offering amendment number one, please.
I offer amendment number one, which is B.1, Chenoweth Kane.
And I'll object for discussion purposes.
And this amendment, Mr. Chair, is an amendment that came to us from Senator Dyson's office, and he would like us to add a section, just some word changes on page 1, line 9. He would like us to add owned and operated or paid for in part or whole part of the language section of the bill. And I think there might be someone from this office here. Is Adam?
Yep. Adam, you'll put yourself on the record, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Adam Berg, staffer, Representative Edgman. Yeah, this amendment's just technical in nature. They're just trying to be more descriptive and make sure that the use of CNG applies to all vehicles possible. So he asked us for this language change.
Okay, any committee discussion on amendment number one? Not seeing any. As such, I will remove my objection. Committee.
I move amendment number two.
One has been adopted. So let me catch up with everything going on here. Amendment number two has been offered.
It's B.2 Kane.
And I'll object for discussion as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment was brought up by Senator Wilikowski earlier. This is the amendment asking Department of Administration to give consideration to the energy efficiency of equipment when entering into contracts to purchase equipment.
Co-Chair Millett.
Thank you. I'm still a little uncomfortable with the language. It seems vague, and the problem that we had is we got into this conversation too about consideration, what consideration means, and when talking to the Department of Administration, they do take that into consideration, and even though we're codifying consideration, it doesn't hold a lot of weight with them. So I am not sure that we even need this amendment at this point in time.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to point out a project that was just bid with Anchorage School District, which I think they should have considered energy efficiency, and had to do with their servers. Not servers, their private branch exchange. It's for their telephone systems. There are new systems out there right now that use considerable less energy than others, and those are huge power consumptions. And I don't know where the sponsor was going with this amendment, but I do think that some of our equipment needs to be considered in a weighted decision in which equipment you're going to install in your building, not just the lowest price, but also energy efficiency. So I just want to throw those comments out there, because I just recently was reviewing a situation where something like this could have really been helpful.
Additional committee comments. I'm going to put on the record that I support the amendment as well. I think that it's worded generally enough that it does give the flexibility for the Department of Administration to, as amendment states, with some qualifying language here, credible and objective information on efficiency levels is readily available. So my objection, I think, however, will be maintained, because I detect that there is some concern about the amendment. And with that, not seeing any further discussion, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Peterson.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom.
No.
Representative Rammer.
Yes.
Representative is not present. Co-Chair Millett.
No.
Co-Chair Edgman.
Yes. So the amendment carried. I'm sorry.
Four yea, two nay.
Representative Remus.
I need to change. I need to take an at ease.
We'll take an at ease.
Move to reconsider the amendment. I need to change my vote.
Is there any objection to the motion? Not hearing any. So, Madam Co-Chair, can you restate the motion? The motion to reconsider has been approved, so we need to move the amendment once again. Amendment number two, I'll move amendment number two.
I'll object.
There is an objection, Madam Clerk.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom.
No.
Representative Rammer.
No.
Representative Johansson is not here. Representative Peterson.
Yes.
Co-Chair Millett.
No.
Co-Chair Edgman.
Yes.
So we have 3 yea, 3 nay.
Representative Millett.
I move amendment number three.
And I'll object as well for discussion purposes. Mr. Berg.
Amendment number two fails.
Yes. Did you state that, Deb, that amendment number two, in fact, did fail?
No, she didn't.
Well, I just gave the total.
Okay. So for those online, amendment number two upon reconsideration, did fail by a vote of 3-3. So we move to amendment number 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 3 is something you should all be fairly familiar with. We did have it in previous CS and House version of the Energy Omnibus Bill. This is the amendment that would reinsert the 25% retrofitting statute by 2020. And if you need more details on it,
I don't like that. This one.
Okay. Any discussion on amendment number 3?
Co-Chair Edgman?
Representative Millett.
Thank you. I've had a lot of discussions about this. This is something I will tell you that I really do favor retrofitting, but by putting and inserting the 25%, there's the contemplation that there might be some liability to the state if we don't meet that goal. It's worded in such that it could be an issue when we go forward. While I think that performance contracting is one of the best things that the state can do, DOT and public facilities have said that they are already working on this, and they don't at this point in time feel that they are able to go forward to the 25% goal by 2020. And I've had a lot of conversations with our co-chairs of finance about this specific amendment, and they're uncomfortable with that percentage being in statute. So I'm going to have to vote no on this amendment also, with all due respect.
Additional comment, committee discussion on amendment number 3. Well, for the second amendment in a row, both the co-chairs have taken a different sort of perspective on
this. This might be the blow up right here.
I doubt it.
No, just kidding.
I see this a little bit differently, but I'm also heartened by the fact that should this amendment not pass this session, that with the movement that we've made on this omnibus bill and the movement we've made on the energy issue as a whole in the legislature in 2010, that this issue will come back before us, because the sense that the 1,000 or so public facilities and all of the buildings out there, knowing that the amount of energy consumed by building heating itself and efficiency and so forth is quite significant, that just the sheer cost savings and efficiency measures that will accompany this particular amendment, again, if it doesn't get the legislature this session, will be back next session. So with that, the objection will be maintained, and we'll turn to the Madam Clerk to call the roll on amendment number 3.
Representative Ramirez?
No.
Representative Johansson?
No.
Representative Peterson?
Yes.
Representative Tuck?
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom?
No.
Co-Chair Millett?
No.
Co-Chair Edgman?
Yes.
3A, 4A.
Co-Chair Millett?
I move amendment number 4.
Mr. Berg? I'll object for discussion purposes. Mr. Berg?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 4 is an amendment that also Senator Wilikowski mentioned earlier. This would have AEA and AHFC jointly plan and conduct a public education campaign to promote energy efficiency and conservation annual campaign.
Any discussion on amendment number 4? Commissioner Millett.
Thank you, Representative Edgman. Senator Wilikowski is going to think I don't like him, but this is something that AEA is already doing, and there was some fiscal notes that may or may not have been added up in finance on this, and AEA has assured me that while they're not mandated to do it, as we go forward, they're not only AEA is doing an ad campaign and public education, there's also other groups in the conservation community that are doing these type of ads and doing them very well. And so with that, I think that I'm going to be voting against this amendment too. I think that with the private sector taking over and leading this campaign, I think that's a good place for it. And with the complement of the AEA's and AHFC's weatherization, I think we're in a good place.
Additional committee discussion, Representative Ramirez, then Representative Tuck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm biased. I like everything Alaska Housing Finance Corporation does. So what's the distinction between what AEA is doing an entity I have a lot less confidence in than Alaska Housing. What is the distinction? Can we hear that? Because I'm brand loyal. I like everything that's stamped with AHFC. I like. So who can...
Ms. Seidman, did you want to come forward and attempt to explain this, or do we do have a representative from HFC mm-hmm. here in the audience?
Is it expensive, Mr. Chairman? I mean, what is it about?
Brian,
it
that do you want to come forward, please?
And Mr. Chair, just to finish posing my question, what is the redundancy that AEA is already doing, and how much is being spent, what's being proposed? Is this expensive? How are they going to get the information out? Does AHFC do this? I mean, just I need a couple of minutes, but
okay, Mr. Butch, before you put yourself on the record, two basic points from Representative Ramirez: the fiscal impact and the redundancy aspect of the amendment, vis-a-vis what the Alaska Energy Authority is already doing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Brian Butcher, Public Affairs Director for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. This is something that we're actually already doing. $4 million of the $28 million for the State Energy Program, ARRA funds, was to, as requested by the U.S. Department of Energy, have a campaign of public education, as well as educating communities on energy efficiency. That's something that we haven't begun yet, but we're doing it in concert with AEA. And I think approximately $2 million of the $4 million would go towards a public outreach campaign. In my discussion with the committee, I think Ledge Legal thought we needed language in there to give us statutory authority. We believe that that already occurs because that's something that we're already doing. So we have the funds. There's no cost to it, and it's something that's currently ongoing.
Any follow-up questions, Representative Remmers?
I just like AHFC. I like what you guys do. I like everything that you do. I mean, how do I not like this? So, through the chair, Brian, is this? You think this is superfluous? Section 15 is not necessary. Is that what you're saying?
Through the chair, Representative Ramirez. Yes, it's not needed. If it's there, it doesn't make any difference one way or the other to us. But we don't believe it's needed.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate all the good work Alaska Housing Finance does for not only putting people into homes, but making sure their homes are energy efficient so they can reduce their utility costs as well. And as we spoke before, trying to find out, not only advertise so people can get in part of the weatherization programs and be able to get involved with energy rebate program, because whatever we can do to bring down that load on our utilities, benefits our cities and our towns. The $4 million that you said that you already have in a campaign, are you allowed to use that $4 million to do polling also in the communities outside of people that are already in the programs to see what other needs may be necessary?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, I don't know that we haven't looked into specifically if we can do a polling, say a public poll. What is included in that, however, is determining at what level we believe our energy efficiency levels are for residential and commercial, because the Department of Energy wants to show a progression and improvement in the next 8 years over where we started to where we are in an 8-year period of time. So developing a benchmark of where we are with energy efficiency is something that's definitely approved.
Follow-up, Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I know there's a lot of contractors that are actually advertising too, and I think some of the best advertisement we've had is word of mouth. But I believe that there's still a need, as we've been talking about earlier, and if there's any way your department can determine the fact that there is a need, and that's for those people that aren't able to participate in the weatherization program, but may not be able to get a second mortgage or have $10,000 up front for the energy rebate. If your department can continue working in that area to see where the need is outside of anyone that's ever done an initial audit.
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, that's certainly something we can look at. USDOE approved our plan about 9 weeks ago, so with session and everything else going on, we haven't had a chance to firm specifically what we're doing, but that's something we can look at.
Okay, thank you. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to point out that in a survey that Senator Wilkowski and I sent out to constituents in my district, we had numerous people respond that they were not aware of some of the programs that were going on. So I think a program to advertise what's available would be, you know, a good idea.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johansson.
Two things. One, I have no idea what the parameters of the survey, what the question was, how many people you asked, so that really doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Secondly, procedurally, I feel very uncomfortable with having committee members' staff directly passing notes to them on the committee, and I don't know if that's something that the chairman is allowing, but it's unusual, and it makes me feel very uncomfortable. So,
well, I appreciate the comment about the procedural issue. The normal protocol, of course, is to pass any notes through committee staff. So I would ask that not, I wasn't aware of that. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. I wasn't aware that that was taking place. So from this point forward, all notes, please be passed through committee staff. I sit in the corner. Co-chair Millett.
Thank you. Brian, my question, and then one of the reasons why I'm a little uncomfortable with the mandate, is that when the stimulus funds run out, we have set a precedence with the, how much do you say, $4 million, $7 million? What I'm acutely aware of is having any more mandates, especially with the decline in production and oil, and if we're doing it now, we have the money, the stimulus money now. If we do create a section that mandates you and AEA to do this, it comes with the funding mechanism. And I'm just concerned about, as we go forward in the budget process, that things like this, these mandates, are expensive, and I don't want to get in a situation where I am tying the hands of future legislators that may or may not have it within their means to fund programs like this. Well, I think they're very valuable, and I think they're great. I'm a big fan of energy efficiency. I've been the biggest cheerleader for it. I am uncomfortable with mandating it in statute that going forward we have to continue to fund. It's great we have the stimulus money, but it's going to go away at some point in time. So that's one of my big problems with the mandate.
Question.
Well, I just want to put on the record for the Third Amendment in a row, we, my co-chair and I are seeing things differently, which isn't unusual. But I would, in support of my yes vote on this amendment, I would just point out two things on this amendment that catches my attention. One is a public education campaign can mean anything, and it's in concert with what the Alaska Energy Authority is doing. Clearly, as we again, redirecting our efforts towards energy efficiency and conservation, consuming less energy, providing alternative, cheaper sources of energy, involving the public is going to be a mandate that that I think we're all going to support, whether it be something that's very expensive to conduct or whether it be something that's not so expensive. And the other part of the amendment that appeals to me is the word annually. So we're not talking just this upcoming year, but we're talking going forward in time. And so the objection will be maintained before we go to a vote. Representative Tucker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to make a real quick comment. I appreciate Municipality of Anchorage's efforts in advertising its contingency plan, making sure that residents of Anchorage understand, in case we have that perfect storm of events where we need to cut back, ways that we can do it, when we should do it, how we should do it, and how we're going to be alerted. So I really appreciate those public announcements.
Okay, not seeing any additional comments on Amendment Number 4. Madam Clerk.
Representative Dahlstrom.
No.
Representative Rammer.
No.
Representative Johansson.
No.
Representative Peterson.
Yes.
Representative Tuff.
Yes.
Co-Chair Millett.
No.
Co-Chair
Edmund. Yes. 3-8-4-9. So amendment number four, by virtue of a vote 3-4, does fail. We move to amendment number 5.
I move amendment number 5.
I'll object for discussion purposes. Mr. Berg.
B.5.
Yes, amendment number 5 is B.5 for,
thank you,
for committee members as well as those out there who have this amendment in front of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 5, you should all also be familiar with. This is reopening the Alternative Energy Revolving Loan Fund program, gearing it towards commercial businesses. This is something that we had in our last House CS. And I don't know if you want me to go further or if this is...
No, that's fine. This, I think, came before the committee, House Bill 196. We had the discussion at least on a couple of occasions for the committee. Is there any discussion on Amendment Number 5? President Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if I could offer a two-word amendment to the amendment.
It's your prerogative to offer an amendment to the amendment, if you wish.
I move a conceptual amendment to the amendment.
And I'll object for purposes of hearing the amendment.
This would be Amendment 1 to the amendment. This would be on page 3, line 29, where it says a high-efficiency wood pellet stove. We actually had this in the previous version, would be a wood pellet or grain stove. And we know how much the members are in favor of developing agriculture in, around Alaska, so.
Okay, any discussion on Amendment 1 to Amendment Number 5?
Mr. Chairman.
Conceptual amendment, I might add. Representative Ramos.
Mr. Chairman, I will support that conceptual amendment. In Delta, we grow a lot of barley, and you can't transport it because it's too expensive, but you sure can burn it. And I'm in favor of this amendment.
Okay. Not seeing or hearing any additional discussion, I will remove my objection to conceptual amendment number 1 to amendment number 5. That brings us back to the main amendment, which we have before us. Is there any discussion on amendment number 5? If not, the objection will be removed. Madam Co-Chair.
Remove amendment number 6.
And might I add, objection number 5 was adopted as such. Amendment number 6 is before us. I will object for discussion purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding is this is going to be withdrawn, but I wanted the committee to know what was happening with it. This is the Department of Education amendment we've had in House Bill 305 regarding energy consumption projections for rural schools. And our understanding is this has been taken care of or will be taken care of in Senate Bill 237. So my understanding was we were going to withdraw after the explanation.
Okay, not seeing or hearing any committee discussion. Madam Co-Chair, do you want to withdraw your amendment?
I will withdraw amendment number 6.
Okay, so amendment number 6 has been withdrawn.
I move amendment number 7.
I'll object for discussion purposes. Mr. Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment just clarifies that the university is eligible to receive loans from the Alaska Energy Efficiency Revolving Loan Fund that you'll find in Section 8 of SB 20.
Any discussion on amendment number 7?
Mr. Co-Chair, this is my favorite amendment.
Co-Chair Millett, do we have to disagree again?
No. I just want folks to understand what this enables the university to receive the Energy Efficiency Revolving Loan Fund. I think that this is we underutilize our university system, and this is a mechanism to continue to lean on our university for technology and efficiency. So I'm favorite amendment.
Additional committee discussion on amendment number 7. If not, objection will be removed. Thus, the adoption of the amendment goes in the record.
I move amendment number 8.
Amendment number 8 has been moved. Object for discussion purposes. Mr. Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the amendment the young woman from Kenai was talking about earlier. Basically, what this does is it allows a municipality by ordinance to exempt residential energy system improvements from tax rolls. Only at the, it just allows a municipality to exempt them if they want to, and doesn't force them to.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ramos.
So in my private sector capacity, I added $157,000 for solar panels, and it never occurred to me that that would increase the assessed value of my property. Fortunately, the last couple of years, things have been so bad, my property values have been declining. So I never considered that it would add a cost. But what you're saying is that the municipality, in this case the Fairbanks North Star Borough, may enact an ordinance that would not consider those improvements in the capital costs. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman, one day I hope to be able to take advantage of something like that when assets for hotels come back, when we reduce cruise ship had taxes, and when we have a healthier climate in the state of Alaska for taxation and for general commerce. And I will look forward to that day and look forward to petitioning my local municipality to allow me to take advantage of that. In the meantime, my position on the tax rolls declines like all other hoteliers and folks across the state, because our state economy is weakening as a result of the state's onerous taxation posture. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Berg, before we go to Co-Chair Millett.
I just wanted to make one point, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I hadn't thought about it when I said correct, but it may not apply to you since it's for residential systems.
To that end, Mr. Chairman, then I'd like to offer a conceptual amendment to Amendment Number 8.
Okay, a conceptual amendment to Amendment Number 8 has been offered. Object for discussion purposes. Representative Ramos, before we go to Co-Chair Millett.
Where does this bill go after House Energy, Mr.
House Chairman? Finance.
To House Finance. I'd just like to read onto the record then that I'd like to contemplate an amendment for commercial properties, and we will, with the help and I hope the support of the chairs of both the Senate and House corresponding committees, make it available for commercial properties to take advantage. Since this is a May by municipality, it ought to be fairly considered, I think, for commercial properties. It's the same issue is at stake. So I will take that up as this moves to House Finance.
So by virtue of your comment, are you withdrawing your amendment then, Representative Ramos?
I didn't offer one, yeah.
I thought I heard an amendment offered, so we do not have a conceptual amendment to Number 8 then. Co-Chair Millett, then Representative Tuck.
Thank you. Do we still have the sponsor of the amendment online?
Freya, are you online?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, Freya. I have a question. Can you tell me, in your research and down on the Kenai, how many folks right away will be eligible for this tax exemption? You must have a lot of folks down there that are innovative and doing some things to their properties that with renewable energy systems that prompted you to do this. Can you just give us a quick little rundown of how many folks down in the Kenai are looking at these alternative and renewable energy systems?
Well, as far as hard numbers go, I know through HEA's program, SNAP, there are 27 homeowners that already have alternative energy systems, and they are getting their energy and electricity from those systems. As far as people who are considering it, hopefully with this exemption, more people would be considering it. So,
Madam Co-Chair, no additional questions. Representative Tuck, and thank you for that testimony, Priya.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to... on the conceptual amendment proposal idea that may be moving forward, I just want to put a couple things in consideration that I don't want to see overlooked. And one of the things is making sure that power generation is limited. We don't want to see major independent power producers be exempted from any property taxes, not property tax, but any tax assessments when they're making a profit off of power generation. And the other thing is consideration of leaseholders that may be long-term leaseholders. I know that usually the property taxes are paid by the property owner, not the leaseholder, but if the leaseholder has a long-term and he wants to reduce his utility bills, somehow entity might be able to receive some benefit as well. So just throwing in some comments on that conceptual amendment to think about.
Okay, well, thank you both for your comments. I think they've been duly noted. Both the sponsors of the bill have sat through the session as well as their staff. I would, at this point, with the conclusion, let's finish business here before we move on to the next stage. Amendment Number 8, not seeing or hearing any additional discussion on it, I will remove my objection, thus adopting Amendment Number 8.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ramirez.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a conceptual amendment I want to offer. Have you concluded the amendments? I don't have any more amendments after Number 8.
Representative Ramirez, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members and senators. When we were in the House Energy Committee, an area in which we received little cooperation from the senior energy policy advisor to the administration, who I understand is not allowed to testify before committees. We asked for an org chart, and we were given a cost summary of departments, and I am still in pursuit of an org chart to see how energy decisions are made in the state of Alaska and the executive branch in particular. I would direct members to page 19 of the bill, section 27. See, Office of the Governor Energy Report, due no later than January 31, 2011. I'd like to offer a conceptual amendment number 9 to that area, requesting the Office of the Governor to generate an organizational chart.
Representative Ramos, for purposes of clarification, is that an is that an org chart related to Alaska Energy Authority? Is it an org chart relating to overall energy functions within the state government?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think I'm going to I think I would like to insert to the conceptual amendment perhaps at the end of line 10, you certainly see on line 9 where it says to structure state energy programs and offices to increase the coordination and efficiency of the state's efforts. And so I think I'll insert with appropriate language drafted by LegLegal after the state's efforts, and to develop an organizational chart and I would look to members of the committee to help me with the specific language for this conceptual amendment to an efficiency of the state's efforts and to develop an organizational chart that anybody help me, Mr. Chairman? I want it to be as broad as possible to articulate the architecture of
energy services throughout the state. Or
I don't know if you want to call in at ease and do
I think the intent has been captured in the specific language. We can have staff make sure that it gets properly incorporated.
Okay.
So we have conceptual amendment number 9 before us. I will object for discussion purposes. Let's attempt to try to reconstruct that for the committee members' benefit. If we could, Representative Ramos, is it just on line page 19, line 10, is that the only addition to the language that you would propose?
I think so, Mr. Chairman. I don't know where else it refers to. I think inside of the Office of the Governor's Energy Report would be the best place to put it. So I think it just needs to go inside of section 27.
Okay. Thank you. Co-Chair Millett.
Thank you. And I do remember this conversation that we had with when we were working on the Department of Energy. One of the things that we had a tough time doing, informing the Department of Energy, if the committee remembers, is that we didn't know who all we were encompassing. We didn't know if it was Gene Tirio, Joe Balash. We didn't know if it was Mr. Hagenson that was, and the genesis of this came out of our trip down to D.C. when we went to visit the Department of Energy, and they didn't have one point person for our energy questions. Our money, our Department of Energy money, and our state energy program money go to our housing authority and not to an energy department. And it was very frustrating as we went through the Department of Energy building and visiting with different folks in the wind power and the hydropower in the alternative energy programs. Everybody gave us a different name, and some of the names we didn't recognize, frankly. And actually, Chris Rose's name came up as someone from the state of Alaska. So, and with all due respect, he's great for the state of Alaska, but he's not a state employee. So it was a little frustrating as we went through. And when we came back, one of the things that we really did ask for was an org chart to look at how our state government was functioning when it came to energy. And while we all look at AEA as our energy department, there's so many more more things that take place within the state of Alaska. LIHEAP is under public assistance. We have all sorts of things spread out through different departments, and we wanted to just get kind of wrap our arms around who was doing what. And the other thing that we were wondering is, if we don't know who our state energy coordinator or Department of Energy is, how does anybody communicate with the state of Alaska? I mean, we heard from the Department of Energy, but there's other federal agencies out there that we do business with, and luckily the Denali Commission is located right here in Anchorage, and they're pretty familiar with our structure. But if you're an outsider looking in, it sure does seem discombobulated. And so that was, as we went around the state, that was a genesis for the Department of Energy. And I agree that I don't think we can get the Department of Energy through, and this bill is a compromise, and I understand that. But I still feel that, I'm sure as Senator McGuire feels out without the tax credits in here, it's a good first start. It's three quarters of the loaf. And I would just like to put on record that I hope we can get to a point where we have either an Office of Energy or a Department of Energy, and an org chart is sure a good first start to looking at how we're structured within the state of Alaska. So with that, I'm very supportive of Representative Rammer's conceptual amendment, and I think it's a good first start to looking at the structure.
Well, for the first time today, I want to agree with my co-chair. And those wonderful comments. But, you know, it was interesting when we were back east, we did hear from a practical standpoint that the state of Massachusetts was talked about as being sort of the model of having sort of an energy response team at the state level that was well geared towards working with the federal departments and any funding sources that could crop up on a competitive basis, and being able to respond immediately. And you know, when we brought up the state of Alaska, we did hear several names and references and sort of vague understanding of what the state's role was and who was respond to. And I think that's something that, although we're not going to accomplish that as a policy issue this session, that we need to continue looking at. So I will support the conceptual amendment. And what I'd like to do for the committee's edification is to read what I have written down, and hope Representative Rammer's agrees. But on page 19, line 10, after the word "the state's efforts," it would be something to the effect of "and to develop an organizational chart that describes state services and programs in their entirety." So, Representative Rammer, does that capture your intent?
Sounds great, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Tuck?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure that it's energy, related to energy, not just all services. But, yeah, I just want to.
Thank you. State, so that certainly we will include the word energy. That's part of why we're here today. In all seriousness, not seeing or hearing any additional discussion, Madam Clerk, can you call the roll on conceptual amendment number 9?
Is there a maintained objection?
Who objected?
I don't think there was an objection yet.
I will remove my objection. I think I objected for discussion purposes. So it's too early in the day to be getting rummy, but I think I'm getting there already. I would ask the committee, I guess at this point, are there any additional amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johansson.
The rules chairman is needed in the hallway.
Can we take an Eddie's for a moment?
Mm-hmm. We shall take a brief Eddie's. On the record at approximately 11:15, we have completed the amendment process. We do, however, have one of the bill co-sponsors in front of us with her staff, and they wanted to address the issue of fiscal impact of the legislation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chairman and Madam Co-Chairwoman. I'll make the brief statement about the fiscal notes, and then Mr. Plowski has the current fiscal notes in front of him. As the bill was making its way through in the other body, there was a little bit of misunderstanding about what the fiscal impact of the bill might be, and part of that stemmed from a letter that the co-chairman Wilikowski and I wrote to the Senate Finance Committee, to the two co-chairmen, talking about what we thought might be needed infrastructure in the energy area recommendations. And that letter accompanied the actual omnibus bill in terms of delivery. It wasn't part of the bill itself. It wasn't a fiscal note attached to it, but Just the way things work in the building, people started lumping the two together. And so in early stage conversations with members of the House, I had to clarify that it wasn't $300 million in a fiscal impact, and that in fact those were just recommendations regarding rail belt infrastructure and Southeast Energy infrastructure. So just that broad view on the record. And then the fiscal notes are right here, and Mr. Pawlowski is prepared to discuss them.
Thank you, Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mike Pawlowski, aide to Senator McGuire. I'd point out the three primary fiscal notes that relate to the bill, and that would be fiscal note number 8, which is Department of Commerce, dated 4/9/10, and that is for $390,000. Then another one is fiscal note number 7 to ADA, which is 276.5. That's dated 4/9/10. And the important thing to realize between those two fiscal notes is that the $276,500 in the ADA fiscal note is actually under interagency receipts, and the funding for that is within the Department of Commerce note. It's about, so the actual number is 390.3, picked up on two fiscal notes, because you have to give one department the ability to transfer to another and the other the ability to receive the fund. The total funding associated with Senate Bill 220, the 30-something sections, is actually $523,600, Mr. Chairman. That is the fiscal notes attached to the bill. And covering what is a fairly substantive piece of work, and including what Senator Wilikowski mentioned earlier, is potential savings from retrofitting in the millions of dollars per year going forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pawlowski and Senator McGuire, for coming forward. And I guess I would note as well, at least from this committee's point of view in terms of fiscal impact, the companion bill, as we have loosely referred to it, is the energy policy bill that's over in Senate Finance right now. And that bill has a zero fiscal note attached to it at the moment. So, committee members, we have the bill in its entirety in front of us. Any discussion? Co-Chair Millett?
Edgman?
I did promise Representative Peterson, but I will go to Vice Chair Johansson after that. What's your Millett?
Before I move the bill and before Representative Peterson offers his next comments, I just want to say it has been fun to work on this through the interim and through the session. It's been probably the most interesting learning experience for me, coming new as a freshman into the legislature, and getting on a committee that at one point I didn't know what the structure would be of our committee and what we would be doing, but we sure have done a lot. And going through this process with the Senate and, you know, two of the smartest senators on energy has been a learning experience, and I'm really happy that we have such an incredible product for the citizens of the state of Alaska. I think it's a testament to how when the legislature does work, it works well together. And going forward, I'm going to look for this type of cooperation, and with whatever bills I'm working on at the time. It's just been a wonderful experience, and I think the benefits for Alaskans are numerous and will be long-lasting. And so I just want to thank both of you and your staff for being so open to compromise and working together, and it's been a great process.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to point out one of the other differences in the two bills. And the one currently in front of us does not have the provision in it to create a separate board of directors for the Alaska Energy Authority, and that would be separate from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. And that was something that we had talked about and had included in our version, and it's not in there. And we can talk about it more now, or we might want to consider another bill, sometime in the future. And I just wanted to put that on the record, and I don't want to slow this legislation down, but I do think that that is something that would be a proper thing to do.
Well, I would comment is well taken, but I would also note that we did pass a bill in the House floor a couple of days ago that expanded the board membership of ADA, and including upping the private sector membership from, I think it was two to five members, and it was noted, at least by myself on the House floor, that that the ADA board serves simultaneously as Alaska Energy Authority board, and that the energy aspect of that, the impact of the bill shouldn't be lost and us as policymakers. Co-Chair Millett, did you want to?
Representative, that was my point too. Is that we did pass that Representative Osterman's bill to expand that, and one of the things that I was happy that was in that bill is that the private sector experience for those public members was a little more specific to business and having some economics in the ADA board, which I don't think is lacking now, but it just goes to spread the breadth of knowledge a little broader for that board, which will help, I think, in the, if we're not going to do the Department of Energy and separating out AA to the Department of Energy, I think it's a good compromise again with that piece of legislation.
Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just echoing, we've done a lot of work on this bill, and I appreciate the hard work from the members from the other body. And as I said this morning in the press conference, I think this is a part of a package, and I look forward to having a complete package passed by both bodies that we can both embrace and be proud of the work that we've done. We have 7 days left, I think, and it's a long time. And I just hope in the end everything turns out so we're all moving forward with Alaska's energy policy and the things in this bill. And I'm very excited about closeout with this entire package out there for the public to feed off of our hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Johansson. Other committee member comments before we make a motion? I think I will offer just a brief comment. Trust me, just brief. I would like to thank our staff as well, Adam Berg is in my office, Jeff Turner is in Co-Chair Millett's office. They have done a great part of the heavy lifting, and certainly commend the staff on the Senate side as well as the two prime sponsors. And a note that this discussion is in many respects just starting, that one quarter of the loaf that didn't make it into the bill, at least up until this point, and may not make it into the process, undoubtedly will come back in some form or fashion next session. And I'm pleased about the parts that we did get into the bill. And I will conclude by asking Co-Chair Millett if you would.
I move CS for Senate Bill 220, Finance, with backslash B, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes to the next committee.
Not hearing or seeing any objection, the bill has been moved. And thank everyone for all of their work on making that happen. Just for the committee's understanding, as far as I know it, this probably is our last meeting of the session, unless there is a reason that we don't know about today to call another meeting. Thank you all very much for all of your hard work, for accompanying us around the state, and for your patience in all of the many, many hearings that we've had. With that, we will adjourn the committee meeting today at approximately 11:25, with the understanding that this likely is adjourning for session, but we'll just close the meeting with those comments. Thank you.